Hi, I'm Juan.
Hi, I'm Charles.
We're with SJLA, or the Social Justice Leadership Academy.
What is SJLA?
It is a group of young people learning, exploring, and taking action to change our community and lives.
Many of us made radio pieces.
I think it's important for young people to know how to make radio because they'll know how to express their ideas freely.
The older people should hear the younger people's voice and what they have to say.
Thank you for listening, people.
Hello, everybody. How y'all doing? Good? Okay. Jaquan Davis. I am from Hudson, New York.
My name is Charles Michael Daly, and I'm originally from Jamaica.
My name is Naya Franklin, and I'm from Hudson, New York.
Michael Nuri. I'm from Hillsdale, New York.
My name is Natalie DeRosier.
My name is Isabella Lee.
My name is Jalal Sabor.
My name is Adonis Alvaraglin.
My name is Claire Cousin. I'm 21. I'm from Hudson, New York.
Jacob.
My name is Cinnamon. I'm 14 years old. I'm from Mississippi.
I'm LJ.
Sharif Khan. I'm 17.
My name is Nicole LaBoot.
My name is Hunter.
Nisa.
12.
My name is Kaya.
My name is Anthony.
Jasmine Wise, 17.
My name is Juan. I come from Esteli, Nicaragua. I've lived in Craryville, New York for most of my life.
I'm passionate about my freedom because I don't have to do what other people tell me to do. I can do anything I feel like.
You feel free now?
Actually, no. I don't feel free right now.
So how are you gonna get
it? I feel half free, half. I feel like everything I do, someone's watching somewhere.
I'm passionate about ending racism and freedom and helping those that are less fortunate.
Building community where we don't just respect each other, we work together and we fight for each other.
What I want is healthy food and vegetables for the community.
I'm passionate about bringing my city back together. Yeah, that's my dream. I want to bring my family up together with me.
The breaking of cycles that perpetuate disparities, inequalities, injustices, and violence.
I want to make Hudson a better place for the children.
I'm passionate about the idea of your liberation is bound to my liberation.
I'm interested in social justice because I believe everybody has the right to lead the direction of their own lives.
I realized how inhuman capitalism felt to me and started to feel outraged that many of the things I was afforded were on the backs of others.
Helping yourself become a better leader.
But I want to be the person that I didn't have when I was growing up.
Inequality and Racism by Bella and Jasmine.
If you had one word to describe your community as an emotion,
depression.
Yeah. It'd be really messed up if I had to describe my Hudson community. It's terrible. Today's day, today's youth, today's adults, they're terrible. They have no, it's nothing like it used to be.
Why is Warren Street the only good street?
The lines are drawn.
Segregated.
We feel invisible.
Poverty.
There's nowhere for youth to go.
The Hudson police pick on whoever they feel like.
Warren Street is not for me.
Exclusion. Prejudice.
Gentrification. Classism.
Have and have not.
There's nowhere for youth to go.
Structural violence.
You want to take care of the rich street?
You can see it in the sidewalk.
I see the inequalities in Hudson just by the amount of resources that people get. I feel like black people are always on the lesser end of the quality resources. And I feel like there's a number of like white people that get more resources.
The youth hit the streets to find out how the people of Hudson think about and experience social and economic inequalities by questioning racism and gentrification
in this city.
Race itself, it's like the 21st century. Get over yourself. It's over. It's not an issue.
Well, it's an issue, but it's not seen as much because it's like hidden, because people don't really like the way it's being shown is a different way from when we were slaves and all that. So it's still alive, but
well,
it's just...
Well, it's alive, but I choose to ignore it. I am not gonna go there, and I'm not gonna validate your prejudices.
If we have learned anything in our time together, it's that racism is not something we can ignore. In our interviews, we found that people in Hudson talk about the many different Hudsons in relation to race, class, and geography. In this segment, we will aim to complicate certain perspectives by putting them in conversation with others in order to explore how the so-called revitalization of certain areas of the community inevitably seems to result in the displacement and marginalization of communities of color.
What kinds of differences do you notice between this side of town and that side of town?
There's definitely a big socioeconomic difference.
If you had darker skin, do you imagine that you would be faced with more struggle in life?
Well, potentially, honestly. I don't know because I don't, but I think that it is entirely likely, unfortunately.
I think even just since last summer, when I lived here on State Street last summer, the discrepancies between State Street and Warren Street have become more stark. While there's this consensus among certain groups of people in town that Hudson is starting to do better, that type of progress is not being seen in places like State Street or Columbia Street. It's really just, it's doing better on Warren Street with those types of stores. Really, I think of it as a fracturing of community when certain parts of community, whether class or race or ethnicity, are excluded based on certain changes that are happening.
You got Union Street. You have Allen Street. Allen Street's the rich people. Union Street, not as rich. Warren Street's all the stores. Columbia Street, not as rich. State Street's poor. It's the line is drawn really well in Hudson, as far as it's physical. In institutions that are run to make money, which is most of the education systems around here, they're not interested in changing the lot of poor people. They're interested in their own lot. So I don't know what the answer is. I know that institutions shouldn't be doing this, but I don't know how to stop it rather than just tear it down and build it again.
Sarah Sterling. I'm actually a county supervisor, and I used to be a Hudson alderwoman. Been here 14 years. Well, speaking from my real estate hat, I think that a lot of the early settlers and the early big houses were built like on this side of town. And so there tends to be, price-wise, people for the bigger, well-kept houses that have been kept up over time. So there's a difference that in housing stock. And there's some streets where people have let their properties go really badly, so it costs a lot more to fix them up. Some of the houses you go into, it's just like, ugh. How can people even live here?
This attitude toward the way that people live here really seems to reflect how the lines of divide are drawn. And it also seems to justify the bulldozing of people's homes in order to build more so-called luxury homes on top that no one can afford.
Do you notice a difference not only in wealth but in race between the different sides of town?
That's a loaded question, and it's actually, because I'm a real estate broker, there's certain subjects that I can't talk about because they're it's considered blockbusting or redlining or something. One of the reasons I came to Hudson was the diversity of the population, and I'm really proud of the different mix we have here in Hudson. And I think it's more a question of economics. Mm-hmm. What you can afford, the place you can afford to live, is going to dictate where in town you might be.
Are we really mixed, though, considering that the economic divide is what keeps us separate?
Well, they're kind of pushing out the poor lower class or poor people out. Exactly what they're doing.
Wow. How are they doing that? How are they pushing lower class out of Hudson?
Things are more expensive, like housing, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so serious, too. But they need to get off their butt and start doing something for the community.
Who is they?
Whoever making this committee works. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yo, you got the government. Yo, he needs to do something. You know, he just doesn't sit around and just watch, you know, sit around, you know, just looking and just, you know, clicking the money and putting it in his pocket. Do something with the community. You can get one bedroom apartment here for $1,000. Ain't nobody got money like that to spend. Shoot, they trying to make it. You know what I'm saying? Only good housing is in the high rise. It's cheaper. Everything is included.
Is it crowded?
Huh?
Is it crowded?
Yes and no.
Well, it was.
Until they start evicting people.
Evicting people or telling people they can't have people stay with them, mm-hmm. or they ain't got nowhere to go.
For real.
We've seen a lot of change over the last, you said you've been here for 14 years, over the last, that period of time basically, happening specifically on Warren Street. Can you describe this change? Do you think it's gentrification?
Well, gentrification is kind of a loaded word because mm-hmm. the people, if you were here before and then you see somebody else come in and they do something different, then you feel like that's gentrification. Mm-hmm. When I came, there was a lot of abandoned buildings. And a lot of us bought buildings because they were cheap and nobody could even live in them. And we had enough money to fix them up. So that could be called gentrification, but if you feel like one racial group is coming in and knocking out another, I don't think that's... You can always blame something on something else, but now I see when I came in, you could afford a certain kind of property. And now... prices on Warren Street have like doubled recently. And to me, that's shocking. And I could scream, wait a minute, all these rich people from the city are coming up here and they got so much money, they don't care. And I see it happening again. And I'm sure when I came in, people thought I was the advantaged one. And now I see people that have much more money than I do. And it's making a change. And I try when new people come in at least to educate them about what Hudson is like mm-hmm. and how we like it here.
Mm-hmm. If you had darker skin, do you imagine you would be faced with generally more struggles yes. in your life?
Definitely. I think racism is still alive and well everywhere. There's no question about it.
So it's kind of hard, yes. I agree. There's a lot of racism. I have to deal with it every day. I mean, it's hard, especially when you're in a working environment and, you know, if some people don't like you or it's because you're black, it's a problem.
It's more difficult to have a community when most of the people in the town are transient. It's much more difficult to have a community.
How long have you been in Hudson?
I have been in Hudson for... 18 years.
And do you feel over that time conditions in terms of equal opportunity, transportation, affordable food has gotten better or worse?
Everything is expensive, but it's not that bad, but we could be better. Everybody's buying the properties and stuff, and they're from the city, and everything is very high, and rent is very high there, everything is high. We're a small community. We can't afford that. We barely have a lot of jobs to feed our children, have an apartment, you know? Warren Street is not for kids. okay? It's nothing for the kids to do or the teenagers to do. That's why certain kids do get in trouble, okay? Everything's high. I mean, we do have the summer programs, but it's not long enough for the kids. You know, arts and crafts, some kind of group. You know, we could have the Boys and Girls Club open all year round. Then, you know, like teenagers always want to work, they could work with the children. That's more ideas.
And there's nothing to do for my age but play basketball, and that's about it.
What's your age?
21 and older.
Are there jobs?
Barely. Because, like, all the antique usually does, it just brings in city people. Like, it doesn't do nothing for jobs, I don't think. Well, from third and up, it's most, I think, like, unless you buy antiques, you shouldn't be on that street. Or unless you want to go to one of those expensive restaurants. Like, other than that, I just stay on Columbia or State.
As a visitor to Hudson, I immediately noticed the intense differences there are from block to block. And in these interviews, I tried to unpack the complexities of a community divided into many different Hudsons. We are most interested in exploring gentrification, which is the concentration of resources and development into only a specific geographical area and for only select few members of the community, or even, as in this case, for outsiders and tourists. What I hope to leave you listeners with today are the voices of longtime residents of Hudson calling desperately for more activities, spaces, stores, and resources that are accessible to everyone in the community, across race, class, and age. I hope that we can reevaluate the development and future of Hudson for everyone in order to build a more wholesome community for its residents.
Everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There is so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh yeah. Again, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all
and
the
tales.
They don't have so very long before their judgment day. Oh. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? God hour.
The morning I wake up, just for the breath of life, I thank my maker. My mind say I come from hustlers and shakers. My mind building on skyscrapers and acres. He said, take us back to where we belong. I try to write a song as sweet as the Psalms. Though I'm the type to bear arms and wear my heart on my sleeve. Even when I fell in God, I believe. Read the days and weave through the maze and the seasons so amazing. Feed them and raise them. Seasons are aging. Earthquakes, wars and rumors. I want us to get by, but we more than consumers. We more than shooters, more than looters. Created in his image, so God lived through us. And even in this generation, living through computers, only love can reboot us. Come on.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. Wake up, everybody, yeah. Said I need a little help, girl, I can't go alone.
Access to Food and Food Deserts by Shah, Michael, Juan, and Jalal.
Food desert.
Yo, I wish I could afford healthy food, man.
Where can we find natural food?
I don't have to pay for a cab to get healthy food.
Everybody has the right to healthy,
there's too
affordable
much fast food.
No access.
Expensive too.
There's too much unhealthy fast food around here.
There's too much
I'm
fast
food.
I wish
healthy.
I would.
I'm getting fat.
Poverty. Scarcity.
Too expensive. I really wish
food
I
system.
Could afford
too expensive.
Healthy food. Food system.
Transportation.
Junk food.
Unhealthy.
I want to know where my food comes from.
The industrial food system commits slow genocide against poor communities of color.
A food desert is where healthy, affordable food is scarce. Unhealthy food is easiest to access, if you can access food at all.
Starting little gardens everywhere, you know, there's so many vacant spaces in Hudson, you can do pretty much anything with it. You can put a garden there, you can do anything with it. Put a nice organic grocery store. The grocery stores, you can't get nothing out of it unless it's processed and it's not healthy at all. So nobody wants to really eat corner store food. Nobody wants to eat that. You got to travel all the way to ShopRite or Walmart just to get some good food, and half the time it's just too expensive.
Transportation is one of the main issues to access healthy food. Here's some feedback from the community.
There are supermarkets, but they're a little bit of a ways, and if you don't have a car, that's kind of difficult. I think there are ways to get healthy food, but there's some challenges to actually getting to where you can buy that.
You know, for the first 2 years that we were living where we live now, we couldn't drive and we didn't have a car. And then, you know, I think we're a lot more limited in terms of access to food.
Yeah, that was a real pain, not being able to get access to like big supermarkets, right? Because everything is, you have to drive to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, it intersects with access to transportation as part of a larger set of questions that, you know, are related to food, but maybe not just about food.
And first, you got to improve transportation in Hudson because, you know, I'm from the city, I'm from New York City, and I'm so used to buses and trains. I mean, it's a small town, but you can do so much in this town. You can put a bus system through it just so, you know, not certain times, but running all the time through Hudson so people can get places. It's hard. It's not very much access to anything in this town.
We do have a bus in town, but it only runs from like 6 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon. It could run a little longer to like maybe to like 6 to 6 or 6 to 8. Like certain kids, they do work at ShopRite and Walmart and all these other little stores, but they gotta walk home or they gotta ask for a ride, you know? I mean, we should be like Albany. We need like more transportation. A lot of people can't afford a car.
So we were wondering if you felt like you had healthy, affordable food for you and your community.
Not at all, not in Hudson. You can't get anything healthy unless you pay a hefty price for it.
Yeah.
And as far as Restaurant-wise, there's pretty good restaurants, but it's expensive.
I think probably Hudson could use an actual place in town, right in the town proper, where people could get healthy, affordable food.
But I do think that food deserts, right, is a big problem for most cities in the United States, especially low-income cities with large Latino and African-American and Asian populations.
And this is what the community would like to see in order to solve these issues here in Hudson.
Well, I personally would like to see more resources being put into public health and food programs, such as food stamps and SNAP, which is what food stamps are now called.
Yeah.
I think that we also need just to get people to understand what kinds of resources are available to them in their communities, right? Be it food pantries or like healthy supermarkets or bodegas where they can get food.
They have gardens, actually, you know, they have gardens now. They have one up there and then they have one on 2nd Street where they're pretty much trying to improve the food system in Hudson. They're doing a pretty good job now.
But things like the community garden or the farmer's market, those, you know, there are ways of shopping at the farmer's market, for instance, that can be somewhat affordable. But I think it would be really good if there was a place actually in town regularly where people could buy food and not, you know, have to spend a lot of money for it.
And this is what SJLA thinks.
Hudson currently has only one public transportation bus that goes from 6:45 to 1:45. That is not enough time for people to get out of work and go shopping for their food. Currently, we are in contact with the coordinator of this bus system to get longer times of service and more buses out on the road.
A community garden lost 30 plots for growing in Hudson due to Habitat for Humanity needing to build houses. And so this displaced a big number of people and did not allow them to grow the food that they depended on.
Our response to this loss was to build a River City Garden, another community garden here in Hudson that is looking for more support in order to maintain it. Currently, we are still looking for even more spaces to grow food around town.
One of the best ways to have healthy, affordable food in a town is to have the right grocery store. In Hudson, we had the Hudson Co-op and the grocery store that was replaced by Musica, which were both too expensive and not welcoming to the whole community. Luckily, the Hawthorne Valley Farm Association plans to open up a farm store in Hudson with the main objective of having affordable and healthy food for everybody. In an interview on WGXC, Martin Ping, the director of the Hawthorne Valley Farm Association, mentions the main ways to improve affordability.
Sure. So first off would be anyone who's working in a store could get an employee discount, and that would be extended to their families. And the way that I would design all of these discounts that I might speak about and any more that we haven't even thought of would be that we would design a POS system where everybody would have a card, and when you go to the register and you check out, your number goes in and essentially it applies your discount. So nobody else has to know what discount you're getting. There's also a very interesting program that comes out of the slow money movement. And it's a friend of mine and fellow co-founder of Slow Money out in San Francisco who has started something called Credibles, and it's edible credit. And what's happening is people are helping to capitalize food markets and food entities with upfront capital that then allows them to receive a discount when they're, so somebody might, if we can make this happen here, and I've talked to Arno and he said definitely we can do this, people can help capitalize the store, put some money down, and then they're getting 10% back out of the register or whatever it ends up being. say I might put some money in and maybe the 10% is not that much of an issue for me. So I could say, put my 10% on the house account that then gets applied to somebody else's card who actually, it would make more of a difference in their lives than it would make in my life.
These are the ways Martin described how to make the store welcoming to the whole community.
So again, over time, one thing will be if we are fortunate enough to hire some folks from the Second Ward, and then that's just they're going to be able to say it's a grocery store. It's not that strange of a place. We also were thinking of
not that far to walk.
Starting a, right. We also have an idea of getting a couple of food trucks and parking them in different locations around the city and having a little pop-up grocery stores that could be a kind of a introduction and a softer entry into saying, come on over and see the whole store. But just, you know, community building ideas around recognizing, coming around together around food, which is always a great way to come together and celebrating food and celebrating hopefully our diversity, which is something to celebrate, and hopefully breaking down some of the perceptions that we have, that we don't have that much in common, because the truth is we have way more in common, all of us, than we don't have in common. So, I mean, by a wide margin.
We, the Social Justice Leadership Academy, are at work on these issues of transportation and access to affordable, healthy food.
With the awareness of the food system in our region, we can make the change.
Join us in taking action for less prisons and more farms that are accessible to everyone, a need that is met with the collaboration of our community.
Let you hear Youth Voice, Youth Power by Betty Hunter and Aiden.
Come in.
Hi, I want to speak up on behalf of my classmates, and I hope you can listen to me.
Okay, state your concerns.
I think that the teachers are not really putting much effort in teaching us, and that the classes are very strict, and I think they should lighten up a bit.
Okay, listen, I don't have time. Come back when you're more mature and older, okay? And you have a better understanding of your school district.
But tonight we are young, so let's set the world on fire. We can burn brighter than the sun.
We believe that our youth voice is very important. We ask questions to the people of the Social Justice Leadership Academy. Some were older and more experienced, and others were younger and still learning about the world. We ask ourselves, too.
Do you feel like you're listened to?
What would you do if you ran a public school?
Why do you think adults won't listen to the youth?
How would you help other kids learn to speak up?
Do you believe all kids learn the same way?
Definitely not. I believe that every individual learns differently, and I think everyone has that eclectic group. And as a whole, I think it's good to teach different ways.
Some people are visual learners, some people like to read, some people comprehend things with their hands better, or experience better. So.
No, I feel like the teachers pay attention more to some kids than others, and they care more about their education than others, and yeah, they just treat them better.
How would you run a public school?
I'd make sure there's more of a focus on letting everyone speak their minds and letting everyone have a say in how they want to get their education.
I think, yes, I believe that every system can change. I think it's a challenge to know how to start the first steps.
I think I would run a public school. All of the kids who are in school are able to kind of design a little bit what it is that they're going to do over the course of a day and also over the course of a year. So I think the school that I would run wouldn't be like everybody's inside all the time.
I'd probably get rid of like the older people who are very traditional and whatnot and only give chances to people who have high grades rather than with the younger people, they reach out to everyone. And then they get to relate to each other. And then after that, I think that's when change starts in younger people and people who aren't that good in school.
One of the ways that I would make sure public school is organized is by having a system through which students can decide what it is they want to learn, decide what it is they're passionate about.
We thought more people would build on the first question and talk about how school could improve through teaching different kinds of learners. But people talked about what they would change about their school, like less homework or better teachers. Maybe it's hard to imagine things being totally different than they are. Everybody's always saying that kids don't understand what's really going on. They're just imagining dragons flying around. When we're young, we can imagine things totally opposite to reality. We are limitless. We all know the phrase, we learn from our mistakes. If we let ourselves imagine things totally different from reality, then we could think of brand new solutions, not just safe with what we know. We could really learn from our mistakes. We could change what we think is possible. Before we can speak our dreams, we want to know, will people listen to us? Or will we be hushed too quickly?
Why do you think some adults won't listen to the youth?
Well, I've been trying to change some things in my school, and it's been difficult because administration is set up in a way you can't approach them.
That pragmatism, being pragmatic versus being like idealistic or having dreams, is more like more powerful and more important and more rational. And so the kinds of minds that most adults have, where we're like, well, what is it gonna cost? Well, how are we really gonna get that? Well, that's not really feasible. That stuff ends up kind of dominating over some, I think often what the kind of imagination that young people can bring. Like, I often hear young people saying like, well, why does it have to be that way?
They think that we're kids and we don't know what we're talking about, but we do.
We are young and our voices will be heard. Kids have their own opinions too. One size does not fit all. This is a part of the school to prison pipeline. We are all taught to be the same or fail.
We want you to know that it is not fair for people to make decisions for us when they don't know what we want. We may be young and still learning, but young people are the future and we will be taking care of you. If you teach us to not listen to what others want and respect everyone's opinions, then when you get old and need our help, we won't know how to help you. We are young and our voices
will be heard.
Next, you'll hear the School to Prison Pipeline by Claire.
I'm afraid of the youth that runs around here in the streets. They have no structure, and they have nothing to do better. They have nothing to do with themselves but fight and hurt each other. The system is like ruining them, all of them. There's no jobs. There's no nothing for them to do. To run up and down the streets all day.
The youth is our true freedom, and no marketing scheme could ever stop the truth from meeting our dreams. Undefeated, we believe what we can see, we achieve, and peace is one being, and God is all seeing, and God is love, so love is all seeing. It's what we're seeing, then obedient, new eyes with a clean lens. Get off that crack fiend binge and stack cream chin, show that black's gleaming and don't lack a thing. Understanding the quality you're naturally in, intelligent, eloquent, destined for heaven sent fellowship, and never settle for less than you're worth. Love will settle the score, mingle with metaphor, dabble with syllable, spit so much heat flammable, mother teeth from the enamel. Life's more than a gamble, it's a fully endorsed cause to soar far to who you are. No one can hold a candle, baby, you're a star. So soar far to who you are. No one can hold a candle, baby, you're a star. Just wanna taste, tryna find a place before they go to waste. Seeking for a sense of identity, time to cultivate and be motivated. In the mainstream, the culture is so sedated, trying to coax our babies to get incarcerated. Numb in the brain like it's Novocaine, so we came for mine, so our culture reigns.
And I can tell you that if the students don't embrace and understand what the benefits are, they don't care. They think it's a joke. Many of them at 12th grade, when they're facing graduation and realizing, hey, I need credits, I can't graduate, then they're panicking. We've lost quite a few of our students to the penal system.
Just running, running, just want a taste, trying to find a place before they go to waste. Seeking for a sense of identity, time to cultivate and be motivated. In the mainstream, the culture is so sedated, trying to coax our babies to get incarcerated. Numb in the brain like it's Novocaine, so we aim for mine, so our culture reigns.
I deliver people I don't know, shower with them, take them to the bathroom, sleep there, everything. Before we go to school, we got checked with a metal detector. Had to like stay in groups, so everyone, we stay in some group and we all go to the same classes together. Like two guards follow you everywhere you go. Can't even walk to the bathroom by myself. They gotta unlock it for me. Had to eat that nasty, nasty food.
They didn't ask me who.
They didn't ask me who.
They didn't want to hear my side. They didn't want to hear my side. They didn't want to hear my side. Told me to get my stuff. 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 Told me to get my stuff.
It's Hudson.
Can't change nothing. Can't change nothing. Can't change nothing.
I am my education. I own it in every way. I know that being brown without one will haunt me every day, because I haven't gained the knowledge that'll make me the best I can be. Because my lifetime experience is not enough to make me. I am the broken classroom. I own that through and through. I expect that when I raise my hand, I'll hear anyone. Anyone? Okay, guess we'll hear from you. Because the chances of me knowing the answer? Oh, those are slim to none. It's a proven fact that those who are black are just not as smart as some. I am the failing system. There's no way to avoid the truth. I dropped out of school, worked my way through the courts, and on welfare. Guess who was right? You! But I am my education, and I got that my own way. I've learned that the system is flawed, and we're all pushed along until we're ready to quit and be slaves. I've learned that we need to stay strong and follow our hearts. It will lead us to where we should be. We need to reach back in time and heed the gifts that the ancestors left over blood-bearing seas. School can be beautiful if lessons were equally taught and the content meant something to us. And if it was still a place that the mind can thrive and there's no police presence hovering inside. And minor infractions were not chargeable crimes that can lead to a day in court where you'll find that your actions in school are worthy of time? Wait, let me rewind. So from school to court to the prison to serve time? Yes, my dear friend, you just rolled the pipe. You just rolled the pipe. You just rolled the pipe. You just rolled the pipe.
This is Freedom and Struggle by Tiquan, Adonis, and Trey.
When I say the word justice, what do you think about?
I think law when it comes to justice. I believe that it's unfair. You know what I mean? That's what I really believe, that justice is unfair around here.
So what does freedom mean to you?
Freedom means what freedom means to me. Freedom.
Freedom? Yeah. Doing that whatever you want.
Same thing my friend said. Do whatever you want. Have all the rights that you want.
Being able to say whatever you want, go wherever you want, do whatever you want.
Freedom means to me when you could do whatever you want.
Living life.
Me, I don't have freedom right now. I'm grounded.
Being free and not being slaved.
Well, to me, freedom is where you're free. You don't got to answer to no one. Now, are you asking me would a person be free in this life? No, because you're always going to have someone to govern you. In some sense, that's good. In some sense, that's bad.
Freedom means that if I'm walking down the street, you know, just minding my business, got my pants sagging, you know, my little swag on and all that, and the police come at me and pat me up. Freedom to me is, you know what I mean, let me walk around. I don't want to be on Warren Street feeling like I see heads turn, like, who is this black guy? Why is he on the street? That's what freedom means.
What does the struggle mean to you?
Struggle mean to me, when you get kicked out your house, you know, and you don't got nothing to eat, you just hungry. And if you got little siblings, you got to give them the food. You can't even eat. You don't got your parents. That's the struggle.
Struggle is down where the high rise is. The high rise, that's the struggle.
A struggle is where you got bills at the house. Sometimes you don't have the right property manager to take care of it. So you have to go out there by all means, whatever you got to do to take care of the responsibility in your home. Not only in your home, that the people that surrounding you, they really care about. To me, that's a struggle right there.
Practice extending across the atlas. I be at this, flipping in together on the dirty mattress. You can't match this, rapper slash actress. More powerful than two Cleopatra. Bomb graffiti on the tomb of Nefertiti. MCs ain't ready to take it to the Serengeti. My rhymes is heavy like the mind of Sister Betty. El Boogie spars with stars and constellations. Then came down for a little conversation. Adjacent to the king, fear no human being. Roll with cherubims to Nassau Coliseum. Now hear this mixture where hip hop meets scripture. Develop a negative into a positive picture.
Now everything is everything.
Sometimes it seems
We'll touch that
but
dream.
Things come slow and not at all.
They come slow, you know what I mean?
And the ones on time.
I think what stands out to me most about this academy is that it's a chance for the kids to learn how to advocate for themselves and things that they're passionate about in their community.
Guys and gals between the ages of 12 to like 19 came together and talked about issues of race, class, poverty, social justice, oppression, and how they can be civic-minded and be engaged in bringing about change in our community.
At the Social Justice Leadership Academy, we're given tools that help us become the leaders of our own lives. And at the same time, we get to collaborate with our peers.
Working with kids and being creative.
Gather up, talk about how they feel in school. Share what it was like if they got bullied or anything else.
Okay, we're talking about how to take leadership, and we're talking about issues, and we're talking about how systems work.
There's actually like racism still. It's still alive, and it's hard to deal with for some people.
What was really meaningful is when we went on the road, the streets, and then asked people questions about racism and how do you think we can stop racism? And then that was not a yes or no question, so they had to say something.
A moment that was really fun for me was planning and organizing how we're gonna make our radio production.
We went to interview people, and living in Hudson, I have a few similar struggles as them, and knowing that I'm not alone in it made me feel a lot better than what I used to feel. I used to feel alone in what happened to me. People saying the same thing, I'm just like, oh man, that means the rest of the world is in my position too. And that helped me a lot.
So what was fun about it?
Everything.
Yeah, going on all the field trips and making food.
Yeah, especially making food.
Yeah, food's good.
And I like playing the games, like the wizard game. I like that.
And I learned how to farm when I was at home.
Yeah, I learned how to farm too.
When we went to the lake, got in that cold water because it was hot outside.
What was meaningful?
Just being with my peers.
Well, I will remember my staff members and my peers and what I learned being in the same room with them.
I would say the people mostly. I guess the conversation that we have, the more personal conversations that we have.
I felt like I had a lot of knowledge on the issues we studied to bring, but I learned more from the experiences that kids talked about and just from their general like knowledge about their community. So what stood out to me was how much I learned from the kids. When we created a space of trust and when we saw people who were used to being silent start to have an empowered voice.
Watching people just feel supported, open up, change, shift, grow, come out of shells over the course of 5 weeks.
And that meant a lot to me that people were able to open up like that and share their life stories with each other. So that's definitely something that I'm gonna take away and hold in my heart.
Being in a space where people of different race, class, and privilege come together and build trust in order to work through and overcome systemic oppression where everybody is involved.
Great change can happen.
And so what are you gonna take away from this program? Like, what are you gonna use from this program in your life? Like, are you gonna like stand up and try to end racism and try to end like food deserts and yeah. I'm trying to end I would still want to end racism.
A lot of power.
The ability to make change. So, like, if you see something wrong, you can stand up, be brave, and try to change it.
How to be a better leader.
being like more confident in myself and just trying to help other people.
My mom knows how to cook for me. I cook at home.
What I took away is that people's minds can be opened.
The power and voice of the young people involved. I was really impressed by how deep everyone's understanding of justice really is.
Being more understanding of how people are.
They should respect other people, no matter what color they are or what race.
I'm definitely gonna take away a lot of like passion to continue to do this work.
Working with people to co-create life together and life that is meaningful and just and joyful and full of love.
I met a lot of role models and I learned that my dreams to do this kind of work are valid because, you know, people are already doing it and I just have footsteps to follow in.
It gave me the chance to speak.
I just want to like make sure that everyone's clear on the issue that we're addressing and like our actions.
We're clear.
Okay. Sharif Khan here. Woo! I'm part of SJLA, Social Justice Leadership Academy, and we're here to propose
a space where young people can come, be supported by their peers, and they'll have the tools necessary to be productive citizens and find their own success, eliminating the possibility of ending up in prison. Taking them off of the school to prison pipeline.
We ask the kids what they want so they can come.
We're proposing we need somebody to help us get a space. We want it to be a resource center for media and creative expression, and the resources we need are for projects pertaining to continuing education and personal interests. Okay. We're not done yet.
And it's like you said, we need new people to make those changes.
And it's us. That's what I want to do. Like, travel to places, tell them about what we doing, and we need some people to help and make and do more changes and do a lot of stuff. That's what I want to do. Actually do it. Like, I want to make Hudson a better place for the children and have a lot of activity and try to get a group of people to do it with me, to help me, because becoming a leader, like, this is a start for me.